Hi there. Welcome to another episode of season 14 of She Builds Podcast, where we share stories about women in the design and construction field, one lady at a time. This season's theme is Anything Goes, a combination of regular episodes and charrettes based on anything that's inspiring us at the moment. Hi, I'm Jessica Rogers, sipping on some cold brew coffee based out of Miami, Florida. So keeping up with the theme for Anything Goes for this episode, it's just me as one of your hosts. But I'm not alone. Today, I'm joined by a friend of the show, Janine Chastain. Hey, girl, hey.
Hey, girl, hey.
All right. So Janine Chastain is a business strategist and facilitator helping AEC firms navigate growth, leadership, transition, and culture change. As the founder of Apostrophe Consulting, she blends her background in architecture and business to bring a human-centered systems thinking approach to leadership and organizational strategy. She has advised over 30 firms nationwide, led strategic retreats, and is known for creating clarity, confidence, and alignment in complex environments. Janine is also the core creator of the podcast Practice Disrupted, also the creator of another podcast that we'll talk about, No Exceptions Taken. With all of that, Janine, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Jessica. I missed you so much. I'm so excited to see you today.
Yes, I'm so excited to see you as well. Thank you for coming to the show. Janine and I, we go way back, okay? I feel like when we started podcasting, I think we both launched at this around the same time, and we've become podcast buddies. We've seen each other at conferences. The last time, Janine, that you were on our show was back in 2022 when we did our season on business owners, and we had you as a guest host, and it was episode 55, if you guys can recall. And I was telling the story on Dorothy Hughes. And it's so funny, if you listen back to that episode, I listened to it to like just refamiliarize myself. First of all, it's episode 55. This is episode 143.
Yeah, I know. I just heard you say season 14 and my jaw dropped.
Yeah. That episode, we were like, yeah, we're going to have more guests, like do these like guest hosts. Well, we never did. Well, you were the one and only.
You know, honestly, I mean, it's fair. There's a lot of history that hasn't been told. So I think you had quite a long list of women to talk about.
Yes, yes. And yours was just so fitting. Also, talking about 2022, like, and then here we are in 2026, all the things that were said, like, I'm based out of this or I'm doing that. We were talking about brisket and barbecue. It was really funny. But also, like, I'm based out of Washington, D.C. No, I'm not. Not anymore. It's like, three careers has happened. And I think with you, so many things have happened as well, like your business, your new podcast. We were just catching up briefly about it. So there's so much to catch up on. And that's what we're going to do today.
I so appreciate it. Honestly, when I got your message, I was like, hell yeah.
Anything goes. And by that, we're just going to have fun. So a fun fact / icebreaker, what is one thing on your bucket list that might surprise people?
Ooh, man, that's a hard question right out of the gate.
Sorry. Hardcore journalism.
Hardcore journalism. I mean, I think, so I did a keynote last year and I spoke to a room of 250 people. And wow. I think that was the first time I've done that large of a keynote with a group of women about the body of work that I'm trying to build. And I would like to do another keynote.
Nice.
I mean, I like speaking in front of people. That's no surprise. But I also think that the number of people that were in that room, I think I'm capable of going higher on that number.
Yeah, you are. I mean, think of all the listeners you have already. So now it's just face-to-face.
Face-to-face. Yeah, that's right.
I think that can happen easily. I feel like the world's been outside since COVID, but I feel like there's new events popping up every day. So bucket list, it's more like look out 2026.
Yeah.
Janine's going to be on stage.
Yeah, to be fair, I guess it's not really a stretch goal or radical that would surprise people. So maybe what would surprise people? I think at some point I want to take singing lessons and then I want to be able to sing. Ooh. So that would be probably a surprise.
It might come as a surprise to some people because at least, like, if you were to tell, like, Nordry or Lizzie about doing that, I think we collectively, we might have panic attacks. Just because, like, there's one thing about, like, talking in front of you, like, with a camera, but, like, on stage, like, there's no editors. Like, every time when we give presentations, we have to remind ourselves that we can't go back and tell Maura to cut this out. We have to, like, keep going with it. And also, I do think it's almost like a trait, I think, in most architects that public speaking isn't one that they gravitate toward. So it could be surprising to some.
Fair enough.
But in your case, it's doable. So, oh well.
Right now, I would say singing is not. I mean, it's in my car. Okay.
Shower, car. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No problem.
Oh, no, I couldn't do it. Just karaoke alone. Ooh, makes me nervous. Okay, so, ooh, this is going to be an interesting episode because we could just talk about bucket list items instead. Oh, this is what happens when I'm solo. But okay, so Janine, let's talk about the business.
Okay.
How is Apostrophe Consulting going? I saw recently that you got trademarked. You hinted at some things coming up in 2026. Tell me about it. I gave an introduction of what the business was, but I don't know if you want to elaborate more and then maybe of like where it started and where you are now with it.
Sure. Okay. I think the most important thing for our listeners to know is that I'm doing consulting on business. Mm-hmm. And that has been, I think, since I launched, I'm 6 years into running this business. I think that was a confusing thing to say out of the gate because people are like, okay, but consulting on what? And I was like, I'm working on it. Like, hang on. You know, so when I started the business, like, I was taking jobs like marketing and I don't know, award submissions and stuff like that, that like wasn't, you know, similarly, like, it wasn't such a stretch that it was out of my range. It was like continuing what I had been doing. But what I really wanted to do, I wasn't ready to do yet at that point in my career. There were a few reasons why. I didn't have the data to know if it was going to be something that people wanted. I was worried that it was going to be something that was too radical and people wouldn't understand. And I also had to build the confidence and I had to build the business, to the infrastructure to support what I wanted to do. So over the last 6 years, I've been doing that and gathering data. I would say Practice Disrupted was one medium where I got a lot of valid data about what I wanted. And going out and progressively building a business, you get a lot of data back from people. So what I'm trying to do is essentially positively change the industry. And I'm doing that by working with firms and leaders to rethink how practice works. And when I say practice, I mean the business operations, the way studios operate, the way we engage our staff, the way we think about money, the way that we operate in order to strengthen how we deliver these amazing projects that everybody really spends most of their time focused on. I think you know, as well as most of our listeners, that there are a lot of things that are broken in our industry that have gone long unaddressed and are particularly challenging for women and people of color.
Yes.
And I think that underrepresented populations have not been a part of the process of creating the goals and cultural aspects of how we practice historically. And we're in this moment where I think we're trying to expand the definition of what and how these practices look like. We're at a great inflection point because the world's changing. It's been changing. There's so much about the modern workplace that has influenced the way we operate. And so we're in this like great moment to actually implement change. And so my primary focus, I said this to someone and I was like, do I think this is true? I think it's true to an extent. I think it's maybe a little over the top when I said it. But I said, like, I'm not a service provider. And that's not entirely true. I would say traditional consulting's about providing a service. You're trading money for a service.
Right.
I'm a mission-driven practice. I'm more interested in the end goal and the outcome and the objective that I'm working towards holistically as a business owner, which includes building my business and really changing these firms and proving through every project that we take on what's possible for our industry.
I love it. I think it's so spot on. And, you know, right before we got on, we were talking about timing. And I do think where you are or where your company is positioned is at this beautiful timing in the industry, because I feel like we are at this transition of what traditional practice, how that's going to be evolving, because now we have all of this new generations working now, and they're coming in with their new ways of how they want to work. And the world has changed since then that has also turned traditional practice on its head. So having someone new facilitate that change. Your work is so mission driven.
I think people are really curious. And the questions that I most get asked the most often is like, what is it? What are you actually doing? And I would say we're using a strategic mindset, which is typically applied to business. But in thinking about the business, we're trying to help the people that work in that business. We're trying to use business strategy as a tool to improve the quality of life for the people that run and support that business. We're also thinking about the business model itself, which is about systems and structures and basically all the invisible pieces of the business. And then we're also thinking about talent. So we call it learning and leadership development, which is basically about supporting the people that are next gen leaders coming up.
Hey there, architecture enthusiast. Nikita Reed here, inviting you on an incredible journey through time and space with my podcast, Tangible Remnants. Historic preservation and sustainability? Let's go ahead right now and debunk the myth that they are opposites. In fact, they are two sides of the same coin, shaping our collective future.
In a work environment, it has been challenging because I've had to probably do more than double just to make sure that I quote unquote fit in. But the environments that have allowed me to do me on the front end, I've been extremely successful.
You look at all these PhDs, they've built that on the backs of our elders.
Absolutely.
What they consider themselves to be experts at is what they've worked with us to achieve.
I know we have to. We have to prioritize people before products and before place.
Join me as we unravel the stories of historic buildings shaped by the people of a specific era and often influenced by race and gender. These tangible remnants are windows into our past and guideposts for the future. Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe now to Tangible Remnants. Let's explore the interconnectedness of architecture, preservation, sustainability, race, and gender.
They need support as they are starting to take over these firms.
Yeah. Listeners, I think you might recall a couple of months back during our, we had a charrette with Bryce Spatz, and that was one of the topics we had of we're at this weird point in time when we want more leaders, but how do you pull up the younger generations to feel confident in their leadership skills? So, okay. So Janine, talk to us about the trademark that recently happened, because, you know, we had a season all dedicated to like patent inventors and people that had patents and trademarks, and ourselves, we've thought about trademarking She Builds Podcast. So I have to ask, like, what made you want to do it? What was the process like? How long did it take?
Oh, man.
Tell us all the things.
Okay, good. Well, A, you should do it.
Okay.
I think you guys already have your merch. I think you should absolutely do it. I don't know. I mean, I got an MBA in business and social entrepreneurship. So to me, going after a trademark was like, oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah.
But it took me a while. So I think the backstory is I have a really unusual name. I have an apostrophe in my name. That's why we're called Apostrophe Consulting. My whole life, it's been a weird thing. People don't know how to say my name. I get called weird things. It gives people a lot of pause. And so I was like, well, when I named my businesses, I was thinking about a name. I was like, well, this feels appropriate, like, to just put this front and center in my brand identity.
Mm-hmm.
And then over the progression of the first couple of years, I like started designing the logo. The first ones were really bad. Like it was just like pretty generic.
First pancake.
Oh yeah. I was like, at the time I thought it was cool, but then I looked back and I was like, well, I mean, I was like halfway there. So then I spent a lot of time really drawing the symbol and trying to think about like, how could I present this? And it does reflect some of my architectural training. I was using some of the thought process that I would have typically used when I drew in CAD and like would think about how things are relationally oriented. So it's this like geometric shape that kind of looks architecturally inspired. Some people said it looks like a state. It's an apostrophe if you flip it the right way, but it also looks like a building upside down. All of that to say, I was like, well, like if I'm really taking this seriously about owning my business. And I think also part of this journey for me has been about owning my identity.
Yeah.
Owning the career path that I chose, owning the discomfort of my name, owning the discomfort of other people around my name, owning the discomfort around growing my confidence through this process. Symbolically, I want to memorialize this moment for myself. And so I was like, I'm going to get it trademarked. So I filed.
That's right.
I filed for the logo. In the process of going through the application for the name, Apostrophe Consulting, it takes a long time. You can hire a lawyer to do it and they help you expedite it. It still takes a long time. It took 6 months for this logo to come back.
Wow.
Uh-huh. And then basically, first of all, you have to provide documentation. Then you meet with the lawyer. They research if you have any competition around it. You have to file what's called a class. So basically like where you are utilizing the brand in relationship to services or goods sold.
Mm-hmm.
So in my case, consulting and other things. And then eventually it's like it goes out publicly for public comment. And then if it passes that, then you own the trademark. And so I knew it was up and I knew Christmas Day was the last day that it was going to go through approval. And then I was just waiting. And then in early January, I got the letter. Actually, Madam Architect, they got theirs a couple of days before mine. And I was like, oh man, she's thinking the same thing I am.
Oh.
So anyway, but I got mine in and it was just like so empowering. This thing that has drove me crazy my whole life in my name is now like a registered trademark.
Oh God, I just got chills.
I know. It's like, it's so symbolic. And, you know, I had these pins made.
I know, I have mine.
So the listeners who can't see this, it's a pin, like a lapel pin. And I got them done to go to AIA because, you know, they got the AI pins, which signalize, you know, if you're an architect or fellow or whatever. And I was like, I'm going to take a pin. And I passed all these out to people. And symbolically, what this symbol for me represents, in addition to my name, is the people that I call the troublemakers, or the people who are willing to think outside the box with me, who are willing to challenge the profession in good ways. I see it as a call to action in my work. I see it as a symbol of thinking beyond the norms in order to create something that's towards the greater good.
Janine, this is supposed to be fun, and you have me getting misty yet. Okay. Because it's so beautiful and I love hearing you explain it, and the thought process of it all is just so inspiring. And I have my lapel pin and now I have to wear it with pride. And it's, I have, after that, I need to like frame it because it's a collector's item, you said.
Oh yeah, like, it's a collector's item.
Yeah, I have one of the originals.
My merch people are going to call your merch people so we can talk.
Yes, yes, please do. I'm here taking notes because we'll have another conversation about trademarking because I know Nerdry and Lizzie probably have more questions regarding that. And then also, I am so happy for Madame Architect as well, getting hers. Actually, now I did see that. And it's like, oh, I want to be a part of that party bus.
Yeah, yeah, we're trendsetters.
Yeah. Actually, this is such a good leeway because I want to talk to you about your new podcast, No Exceptions Taken. And now hearing your backstory of like everything about the name of about Posh, it's like this podcast name, it sounds so fitting. Tell me more about it.
Well, I think our listeners will know that I had a history in podcasting. I did a lot and I really loved doing that work, but I had to take a break for a little bit to recharge. And when I came back from break, I was like, I think because of where I'm at with my business, it's time for me to have my own podcast.
Yeah, recharge. I remember when we briefly talked about that break that you were taking. To me, it almost seemed like you were focusing on your business, on Apostrophe Consulting. And so that's why it's so beautiful to like have this conversation with you now. Because from my eyes as an outsider is that you were like, not to be an architecture nerd, but you were putting those reinforcement walls, you know, like strengthening what you were building. And then now you have almost like a, like the cherry on top with the podcast. So what is the podcast about? And it's like an extension of your business.
It is. You know, when I thought about redoing a new podcast, we are doing storytelling and some interviews, but I'm trying to lean into the storytelling piece and we're featuring our clients.
Nice.
And so now that I've had enough projects that I can, like, it's a portfolio at this point, I can go back to my clients and say, let's do an episode and talk about this story.
You have case studies to reference almost.
That's crazy. I love it. So, you know, when I do this work, it's such a, like, I have such a good relationship with the people I work with. I care about them. I'm proud of them. And so I want to craft these stories that share their journey and demonstrate what's possible because they're doing really amazing things.
Yeah.
And I think we're also going to have some other guests on. I mean, there's no shortage of content.
Mm-hmm.
There's only a shortage of Janine's time.
Yeah, girl. Look at me. I'm riding solo because of time. I get it. That's cool because I know one of your clients that you've had are the ladies from Architects Fora. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming that's going to be a future episode alert.
It is a future episode. I'm so proud of them. Their story is so cool. They are definitely coming on.
Nice. Okay, so you have clients. Are there any other outside guests that you're hoping to snag for the podcast or specific story topics that you want to cover?
Yes, I have a long wish list and I'm having to like pace myself because I'm like, okay, this has to be like a balance. I can't go out of the gate 110% like I want to. So carefully curating a list of people I want to interview, they typically are going to be related to either business, which is a broad topic, but specifically in the range of what I'm doing, which is around trying to change the profession.
Yeah.
And I've got a lot of ideas and contributors that are going to come on.
Nice.
For that. And then I also am going to bring in some practitioners because I think it's really important that we talk about their stories and the challenges they're facing. Because I think one of the pieces of this conversation that's super complex is that there are real constraints. And we have to talk about the constraints in addition to the challenges. And I hope we can also talk about the success stories for all of these architects.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to clarify. So with your business consulting, is it focused or like the majority of your clients AEC related? Okay. Because I do find that in my day job, I'm doing more of like the marketing business development side. So I try to look out for content that, or like things that, like I don't have an MBA yet, but the business side, sometimes it's hard to find content about business.
Yes.
As it relates to the AEC industry, because I feel like it's such an outlier sometimes with a lot of things, even the conversations that I have regarding accounting. Just like how like those specific things. It's like, yeah, but in architecture, we do something different because of our clients and our consultants and our this and that. So that's really well needed.
It's well needed.
I'm excited to hear more. I know that this episode is going to air
next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. So actually, we are recording this episode in the future. So second episode is already out.
There we go. So, look at that. Janine's ahead of schedule.
Ahead of schedule. So guys, what are you doing? There's two episodes out of No Exceptions Taken. You guys, go listen. Okay, so that's great. I am so excited to see what's in store with No Exceptions Taken. Is there any thoughts about Practice Disrupted? Like, are you ever going to go back or still on like a guest role or?
Yeah, Evelyn and I've had a lot of conversations about it. She was very sad I left, of course, but she understood. Like, she's trying to do her thing too. And we did talk it through. So like, we were on the same page when I split off. She's also on the same page with me in terms of understanding like where I'm at and where she's at.
I mean, at that time, she was becoming president.
I know.
It was insanity.
Like, that was another thing that was like obvious. It was like her time was just not going to be available. So basically, I think I did a guest episode last year. She invited me to join her in the December. I couldn't make it. But yeah, every once in a while, I'll probably when she wants somebody to come in as a guest on my subject matter expertise, I told her I would be happy to do it.
Beautiful. You've become now one of those people that podcasters outside of the AAC industry that I see that have multiple podcasts.
Ooh.
So I feel like now you're a part of that group.
Cool.
So it's like, oh. So I'm always curious about the dynamics of the multiple podcast things. So
I would say the key there is different structures, different intentions for the two storytelling versus interview,
right?
Provocative versus case study. I think there's just a little bit of a different spin on it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So you got your business that's booming, growing, and thriving.
I love hearing that.
Yes. You know, we are a history podcast, so we tell facts.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Because you don't understand, at least like the girls, we are such cheerleaders. Like in college, we still refer ourselves as the woohoo girls. Like we always like, ooh, it stopped raining. Woohoo. Like we are always woohooing. And then I remember in the background, like seeing your posts of like even you hiring more staff or getting new clients. Like I see it in the background and I am woohooing you.
Oh, thank you.
Okay. So yes, you have the podcast. You have the business. You have all the things that you do. Also with, I know that you're active in your local AIA chapter as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything outside of those things that you do? We briefly talked, you wanted to sing.
Yeah.
That's a bucket list item, but.
Bucket list.
Any other hobbies or things that you do?
Because I'm a business owner, I have to work on self-care is really important.
Yes.
Because it's stressful.
Yes.
Especially when you're growing something from scratch. Gardening's really important to me.
Oh, love it.
If I am having a bad day, I'm either going to, there's this really awesome field that I go to that's like vast and I love just going to sit out there, walk around in nature, hiking. Or I go to the garden shop and I buy a ridiculous amount of flowers and then try to get them in the ground.
Ooh, I do that too, honey. That used to be almost part of my birthday ritual. Speaking of self-care, every birthday I try to get a facial, a massage or something. I kind of think of it as like a tune-up to my body.
Yeah, yes.
And then I'll get like a coffee, like my, you know, birthday treat. And then I'll go to a plant shop and I'll just like buy whatever plants I have. And hopefully you don't have the luck that I do, but I used to post my plants, but it's gotten this bad juju that I'm like, look at my beautiful baby. It's like, yeah, new seedlings. And then a couple months later it dies.
Yeah.
You don't have to put it on social media anymore, but you could just do it.
Yeah.
Without posting it.
So I really like digging in the earth.
There is something about like using your hands for things.
Yes.
That is something to it too.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I think there's something really therapeutic about plant shops. I also love music. Okay. Something that people would be surprised to know about me is that I'm on these very serious conference calls all day long. Like all day long. They're like boom, 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 boom. Very serious topics. I like to have fun. So like when I get off the call and it's like I got a break, I will go to get coffee or tea and I have my playlist. I throw it on loud, dancing down the hallway to get my coffee, recharging and coming back to get on another call.
I love it. That is a good recommendation for our listeners. I always like the mantra, like work hard, play harder. You just need that. Just shake loose. So what about books and shows? Anything you want to recommend? And they don't have to be business related. We love a good show.
Yeah. As you can see, I have this like insane.
Oh my God. Nerjuri would be so jealous of your bookshelf because it's organized how she has hers organized, all like color coordinated. You could tell we're friends.
Yeah, it's full of business books. So I think like I'm guilty of constantly buying, I would say, business books, psychology books, some self-help books, depending on what it is. Recently, I've been the books that I've been buying recently are like actually military strategy.
Ooh, I've started to do that, like the 5 a.m. club. Like there's one that I read and I was like, oh my God, but this is so not me. But I could see the appeal.
It's not me at all. But you know what? It's like research, because I'm like, okay, this is historically the way people think about strategy. So I should know what this is, because I'm basically trying to like not do that. But I would also say the book that I love right now, Brené Brown just came out with a new book. It's called Strong Ground. And honestly, the crazy part about it is it's like basically a book about what I'm trying to do. It's just, she's got, you know, little couple of years on me. She's backed mm-hmm. by University of Texas. She's got research money. Anyway, but if you look at that book, like it's, there's a lot of things in that book that relate to some of the work that I'm trying to do. So I've been really enjoying it, seeing it and knowing that it's picking up momentum as a bestseller.
Do you have a book in your horizon? Is that something on your list of things you would want to do?
Probably. I think so. I don't know if you know this, but there's a book published by AIA called Living Your Life as Leader. They used to sell it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a stack of books. But like you, I also collect books.
Okay. I was the editor of the third edition. So like...
Oh, I did not know that.
But that was pretty much, I would say, a research project. Like we took something that needed to be adapted by a bunch of volunteers, added a bunch of research that I was doing anyway during my MBA, and then we published it parallel to the Leadership Institute as a resource, and then they've continued to sell it. I think it's out of date, to be honest. I think it needs a refresh.
I do think a lot of the things that the AI, I see it a little bit of what they're trying to do, that I feel like they're in the process of redoing or re-evolving things.
Yeah.
But cool. I think we've probably shared it on our podcast that we've talked about creating a She Builds podcast book of some sort.
Stories, yeah.
Yeah. Last year, I attended the NOMA conference, and I attended one of the sessions with Pascal, and she was talking about the process of her publishing her book. Mm-hmm. I got all of her details, and I was telling the girls, like, while I was there, I was like, oh my God, I took so many notes.
Yeah.
There's so many things that we should consider. I got Pascal's number. Like, best believe we're going to talk to her when the time comes.
I think that's a great idea. I think you guys could totally do that. And it would be an amazing book.
Yeah, there's so many ideas floating in my head about the podcast and what the year will bring. And I keep reiterating it, but like talking to a fellow like-minded podcaster / entrepreneur who's doing her thing. And it's also, as someone, like, we both have this in common that we both are architecturally trained, but we're not necessarily doing architecture in the traditional way, but we have our own path within the industry, I think is always something that I'm all for. I'm just so happy.
I'm all for it. I was going to show you this parallel to your desire. So this, it came from the art world, but it's women in design. And it's like, I mean, it's exactly what you're talking about. Like it's, you flip through it and it's got all these amazing stories on women in design. So I think you guys could do it.
Oh, yes. So stay tuned, listeners. There's a lot of things coming at you. You got two episodes of No Exceptions Taken to listen to. You know, you got Apostrophe Consulting for the business owners that are listening to us. We're in this season of Anything Goes, so who knows what the next episode's going to be like. So before we wrap up, there's one thing that stays consistent when we have our interviews that I have to ask you. So, Janine, in our regular episodes, you know that we always pick a caryatid or a woman who is working today, holding up the profession. So, for you, who is a caryatid whose work you are admiring right now?
Oh, man, this is hard. I have so many. I know so many fierce women out there that I adore who are shaking things up. And I asked you if it had to be somebody who was alive.
You know, I don't play by the rules. So.
I feel like I have to give a shout out to one of my mentors, Marcia Meadham, who I worked for right before I started this business, who had a huge impact on me. She unfortunately passed away from ALS, but she was, oh my goodness, a force of nature. And she was fighting for climate justice and social impact work. Everything that they were working on was mission driven. She was one of the like leaders of the Committee on the Environment and doing a lot of stuff. Basically, the new design framework mm-hmm. that got set by AIA.
Right.
She was a major leader behind that. And so in my last role with her before I went off and did my consulting work, she was someone that I got to work alongside of and see on a day-to-day basis how she, as a woman, led a firm of 30 people, how she went out into the community and advocated for the work she believed in. And it's really sad we lost her, but her portfolio and her work and her mission made a huge impact on the profession. And she's somebody I look up to because she really had a vision for what she was trying to achieve in the world.
Thank you for sharing that. I mean, that's the point of our show and that's the point of Caryatids, right? Is to look up at the women that have influenced us and impacted the work that we do. So thank you so much for coming to our show, even though it's not like I had to like beg or anything. So. It was an easy ask.
Thank you for inviting me, Jessica. I loved hanging out with you.
Of course. Okay, so where can people reach out to you, engage with you? Where do you want them to tap you?
So our website is apostrophe.consulting. And we also have social media, so you can find either me on LinkedIn, Janine Chastain. It's spelled weird, so you probably won't get it unless you Google it.
But don't forget the apostrophe.
Maybe look up Apostrophe Consulting. You might get there. Our business page is on there. We have an Instagram page. No Exceptions Taken is on Spotify and Apple and where you love to download your podcast. You can always reach out to hello@apostrophe.consulting.
All right. And then stay tuned. She might be on a stage near you. Well, thank you guys for listening, and I'll see you guys at the next episode. All right, before we say goodbye, we want to say thank you to CMYK for the music, John W., our technical advisor, and most of all, thank you all for listening.
Remember to check out our show notes for links to all of our resources on this episode, as well as pictures of projects we've talked about.
Please let us know what you thought of our episode. If you've enjoyed it, please help us spread the word. Tell your friends, your neighbors, your family, tell them all. Tell them to give us 5 stars on iTunes and Spotify and write us a review. This will all help us reach a wider audience and for more people to learn about these amazing ladies with us.
Your support means everything to us. If you've enjoyed our content and want other ways to help us with our mission, you can support us by visiting our website for merchandise.
If you don't need any more swag, but you'd still like to consider supporting the research we're doing, you can donate to us on our website at shebuildspodcast.com/donate, or you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/shebuildspodcast. You can also find links to all these items on our website.
She Builds Podcast is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. Gable Media is curated thought leadership for an audience dedicated to building a better world. Listen and subscribe to all the shows at GableMedia.com. That's GABLmedia.com.
We are excited to hear from you and for you to come back and keep learning about bosses with us. You can email us your thoughts at SheBuildsPodcast@gmail.com. Leave a comment on our website, SheBuildsPodcast.com, or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at SheBuildsPodcast and on X, formerly known as Twitter, at SheBuildsPod. Until then,
see ya!
Bye!
Adios!